सहयज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः सहयज्ञा प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रसविष्यध्वम् एषवोऽस्त्विष्टकामदुःख अनेन प्रसविष्यध्वम् एषवोऽस्त्विष्टकामदुःख So Krishna was discussing the elements of karma yoga. First he said to approach this as a duty. And the second thing is as a devotion, worship to the Lord. So these are the two aspects we already saw. And now he says this worship concept or the yajna concept of whatever we do, whatever action we do, we consider it as an yajna, offering to the Lord. So that concept where the very life itself becomes yajna. The very life of myself, whatever I do every day since morning till night, all activities I do, let them be all offered to the Lord. So you will do only noble things, you will offer only noble things to the Lord. Let my entire life be an yajna to the Lord. Entire life should be an offering to the Lord. That's what he is trying to tell here. So normally, we think of an yajna as what? As some priest coming to our house and he has to do some fire worship. Some fire has to be there, oblations have to be offered, so much of ghee should be poured. That is what we think as yajna. Whereas Krishna says, that is not yajna at all. Those yajnas are only preparation. They are only preparatory karmas and only as symbolic and not real yajnas. They are only symbolic of yajna, but they are not real yajnas. That's what Krishna says. The real yajna is the very life. When the very life itself becomes an offering, when the very life itself becomes the worship of the Lord, that alone is called a real yajna. That's what Krishna says. So various oblations, they all fall into the homagunda, right? We put so many things into the homagunda when we do an yajna. We put so many things and all those things, what they do, they come later as wonderful results. That's what we believe. When we do an yajna, homa, we offer so many things into the Lord, we do a sankalpa and we expect so many nice things to come out of that yajna as a result of that yajna. Similarly, my life, if it is sacrificed in activity, all devoted to the Lord as an yajna, and the result, what it comes in the form of a wonderful world for me to enjoy and also to carry on with my locomotion of my life and also the people around me. In fact, whatever we are enjoying today, they are quite what? They are nothing but the sweat of somebody else. Whatever I am enjoying today is the sweat of somebody else. That blood and their toil, all the things that they have put, invested in time and effort and money, whatever they have done, I am enjoying today. So whatever I am doing today is going to be enjoyed by somebody else also. So let me offer whatever work I am doing as an offering to the Lord. That's what it says. So I sacrifice my life in the form of activity, all dharmic activities, and the whole world will benefit out of it. As I am enjoying the work of others, my work will be enjoyed by so many others. So let me offer my work as an yajna, my very life itself as an yajna to the Lord. So this yajna concept, in which the entire life itself is converted to a worship, Krishna says that this is not his new concept. That's what he is telling in this shloka. It is not a new concept. It is not like a Krishnaism that he is proposing anything here. It is not anything new. It is not Gita philosophy or Krishna. This has been there from time immemorial, from the beginning of creation itself. The Lord himself has created the yajna concept right from the time of creation through what? Through the scriptures, namely the Vedas. So it has been already told in the Vedas. He says, Saha yajnaha prajaha srishtva. The Lord created human beings along with the concept of yajna itself. Saha yajna. Along with the concept of yajna itself, he created human beings. Any material you find, you know, find anything we buy comes. They are normally, you know, when we buy something, a lawnmower you go and buy. lawnmower comes with what? There is a manual, a user manual is there. Without that, you cannot operate the lawnmower perhaps. So the same way, when Srishti, creation came, the Lord gave a manual as to how this life has to be conducted. So it is the manual that the Lord proposed through the scriptures, through the Vedas. So as the creation started, the instructions as to how to lead a dharmic life also started along with that. So he says, Sahayajna, along with that. So Lord created human beings and gave out the manual of living too. That's what the Lord did. He created the humans. He also gave them the manual of living, namely the Vedas, which contain the art of living through this concept of yajna. Yajna means the very life itself is offered to the Lord. So Sahayajna, along with this yajna concept, Prajaha Srishtva Prajapatihi. The Lord Brahmaji, he created the people. So along with the concept of yajna, the Lord created the people. Here, Prajaha refers only to human beings. We should be careful, because all other creations, animals, plants and all, what is unique about them? They are all living according to Dharma only. Only humans alone, because he has got the so-called the intellect or the sixth sense or whatever, he deviates from Dharma. All others do not. No animal deviates from Dharma. They all function according to their natural instincts only. Plants also the same thing. Everything else in creation, they function according to their Dharma. Only humans are the only species who are always ready to violate their Dharma. That's what they do. So here, Prajaha refers only to humans. We should be careful in understanding that. So we humans, we exploit the nature. We take the maximum from them and we give the minimum to them. So we take the maximum from nature and we even do harm, not even give minimum, we do harm to the nature also. So all other beings, all animals, plants, they need not be taught the yajna way of life at all. No need. They live according to that. Whereas they are naturally living according to yajna way of life. Whereas the humans alone, they deviate. So this manual is meant for only humans. So Pura Prajapatihi Uvacha. Lord warned all the people at the time of creation itself. Anena prasavishyadvam. By this yajna, you produce more. You produce more and take less. That's what it means. You produce more to the society and take less from the society, from nature. And let this yajna be your kamadukha. Kamadukha, a wish-yielding cow. Kamadenu. Kamadenu, parijata are all, these are all celestial objects. They give whatever you wish, they will give you. So let this be your kamadukha. Let it be your wish-yielding cow. Yeshava astu ishta kamadukha. Let this be your wish-yielding cow. That's what Krishna is telling. And how it is going to be like that, he is going to describe in the next shloka. Devan bhavayata nena.
Devan bhavayata nena. Devan bhavayata nena.
Te deva bhavayantu vaha.
Te deva bhavayantu.
Devan bhavayata nena, te deva bhavayantu vaham.
Devan bhavayata nena, te deva bhavayantu vaham. Devan bhavayata nena, te deva bhavayantu vaham.
Parasparam bhavayantaha.
Parasparam bhavayantaha. Parasparam bhavayantaha.
Shreya param vapsyata.
Shreya param vapsyata.
Parasparam bhavayantaha shreya param vapsyata.
Parasparam bhavayantaha shreya param vapsyata. Parasparam bhavayantaha shreya param vapsyata.
So anena. Anena means by this yajnana. Anena means yajnana here. By this yajna. Devan bhavayata. May you worship the devas. Bhavayata here is pujayata. May you worship the devas by this yajnas. Here we should be careful. Krishna is using plural. He says devas. He is not, may you worship the god. He says, may you worship the devas. Devan bhavayata. He says in plural. Because we have outlined, I have just touched upon this when we started about Tattvabodha in the beginning. Even the Lord, even though he is only one, according to our scriptures, the very same Lord, when looked from various angles, we call that same Lord by different Adhishtana Devatas. For each function, we call a Devata.
Varuna, Mitra, all these things, they are all various Adhishthana Devatas based on what? Agni, Vayu, these are all Adhishthana Devatas for each function. For example, God of learning is Saraswati, God of birth is Mahalakshmi. The same one Lord, when they are carrying out this particular function, you call them by a name. So we call that there is an Adhishthana Devata. So for each individual there is a Devata, and then for the total there is a Devata. So we all, for everything we call them as Devatas. So this is, he uses plural, even though they are the presiding deity of various forces, of various natural forces. Even though the Lord is only one, the Lord is looked as many, because as a presiding deity of various forces, you look upon them as many. As often we have seen, the very same person, for example, looked from different angles, you can give different names. He is father, he is son, he is a servant, he is officer, he is whom. The same person can have different hats. So, depending on the function, we call by a different name. The same way, the Lord also, based on the functionality that is being carried out at any point in time, is given different names as whatever names we are worshipping. So, different names, same person, same. So, ekam satim, vipraha, bahudha vadanti. Even though there is only one truth, these scholars call them by many names because of various functionalities. So, even though the Lord is one, when he is gifting or when he is creating the world, he is called Prajapati, the one who is called Brahma. And when he is in sustain the world, when he gives in plenty, he is called Mahavishnu. And when he is the Layakarta, the one absolver, dissolver, he is called Rudra. So, you give, the one who gives rains, you call him Varuna. The fire force, the force of energy, call it Agni. So you call them by different names. So we have got different devatas. So initially, we worship the Lord together as a particular God, given a particular form, etc. Because in the beginning, we do not have the maturity to appreciate the Lord is one, and that Lord has no form, Lord has no characteristic. We don't want, we cannot accept that. Mind is not mature enough to do that. So we create all these Puranic gods, we create all of them. They are all given in the Puranas. So all these gods are all created in the Puranas, so that our mind will get attuned to a particular form, and later will evolve to go beyond that and understand the Lord is only one. So all the individual devatas are only a symbolic representation of the Lord as total, and are worshipped as yajna here. So later this is given actually a different dimension. And that is why in our Smriti Grandhas, they have Pancha Mahayajnas. Instead of this worship going through all these kind of this devata, that devata, and appeasing this and all, in our scriptures, they gave a totally different dimension to this and called this yajna through a concept called Pancha Mahayajnas, which everybody is supposed to be following every day routinely. And these yajnas are divided into five Pancha Mahayajnas. And first one is called Deva Yajna, then Pitru Yajna, then Brahma Yajnam, then Manushya Yajnam, and Bhuta Yajnam. These are the five different types of Yajnas. When Krishna talks about, we are talking about all these things in the Yajna. And what do we mean by Deva Yajna? Deva Yajna is we worship the Lord in the form of some manifestation, you know, through the various forces in creation. You worship the Lord through various forces in creation, in the form of the Pancha Mahabhutas, the five elements, the various cosmic forces like the rain, the sun, all those things, or we worship them. So the concept of God with a particular form or place is completely wiped out. There is nothing like, it's not there. Instead, we see the same Lord in the things that we come across in life. Whatever we come across, we see the same Lord in all of them. So, for example, there is a prayer for the Prithvi Devata. There is a Bhusuktam for the Prithvi Devata. And there is a Varuna. For Varuna, there is a worship. For everything in creation, every force in nature, every Bhuta, you worship them as the Lord, as the manifestation of the Lord. So, when we look at the very earth itself as the Lord, what is the corollary to that? You learn to respect it. You do not abuse it. You do not abuse the earth. Whatever we think of the ecological system today, they are all brought through our ways of worship as yajna. You do not destroy them. You do not try to do things which will harm them. You try to live in harmony with them. So that is the concept that is brought to us. So this is an yajna of the Lord alone. If you are not disturbing the earth, it is an yajna to the Lord. If you are not disturbing the ocean, the water systems, it is an yajna to the Lord. We don't have to think they are yet. This is, even though whatever we talk about the ecology, they are all nothing but yajna in our system. They are all worship to the Lord only. So, this way of life, looking at everything as the manifestation of the Lord. So, what we should do, whatever we see in life,
Whether it is people, plant, animal, we go to this Guru Ayurappan temple and see Lord Guru Ayurappan in that murti. What we should do? Mind should train itself to lift that murti from that idol and place it in everything that we see in and around. When that bhava comes, then we are really devotees. Not until then. When we are devotee right at the sanctum, right at that place, we are all devotees for that 1 minute. But there also devotees, very selective devotee. How much selective we are? We are looking at the Lord and we have looked at him for about, let us say, a couple of minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes. The other guy is standing in the line. You are ahead of him. You do not want to leave aside and let that guy also see that Lord. I want to be there only all the time. What bhakti it is that? We should be able to lift that murti from there and place it on everything that we see, everything that we come in contact with. That is devotion. Not this is not devotion. This is emotion. This is really not devotion. So in Bhagavadam, the Lord is very vehement about it. Why I am so strong about this is, the Lord himself is very vehement about it in Bhagavadam. For example, this is in everything, and even Swami Chinmayananda used to say, even if somebody wants to offer something to a beggar, that guy is a beggar, maybe, you know, he is a leper or whatever it is, so he is asking for alms. And this guy, he doesn't want to even look at him. He throws that whatever, you know, quarter or whatever it is at him. What kind of dhanam it is? It is another being, another manifestation of the Lord himself. We should be able to see like that. Respect it. If you cannot give, doesn't matter. Do not respect it. Disrespect that person. So, bhavam should be like that. Everything in and through, everything in creation, we should be able to see the manifestation of the divinity. It is not just only in that idol. The murti of Venkatachalapati is in Bridgewater Temple, 8 feet 3 inches. Is the Lord contained in 8 feet 3 inches? Can you contain the Lord in any dimension? Cannot. We should be able to lift that Lord from that murti and place it on everybody we see, everything we see, every animal we see. But we do not be judgmental about how that person is. We see them in all of them. So when that bhavam comes, then it becomes devayakyam, not otherwise. Otherwise it's not devayakyam. Only this is devayakyam. So this is, actually, the Lord says, actually very very vehement. He says, basmani eva huto bhaveta. This is equivalent to doing an yajna in basma. You know, when you put everything in Agni, that becomes Basma. And if you add anything to Basma, can anything burn? Nothing will happen to that, right? This is what happens. Even though you may do a very big yaham, that has no meaning if this is the attitude a person has. That's what the Lord is very vehement about this thing. So, gradually we should learn to convert the worship from a particular form to the whole creation itself. Everything in and through creation, we should be able to shift that thing from that form. So, waters are respected as Lord. Apova idagam sarvam vishva bhutani apaha pranava apaha pashava apaha annam apaha amrutam apaha samrada apaha virada apaha surada apaha. Everything in system, in the creation is apaha. They are all because they are sustained by waters. So, you have to think water as devata. Then we will not disturb them. We will not harm them. We will not put all the effluents into that water and harm that. We will not do all that. Because our own way of the whatever we think as conveniences to us, how much we are causing harm to the nature. And when you are causing harm to the nature, how can you expect the nature to be kind back to you? It's not possible. It is going to erupt somewhere else when we disturb the system. So in the Rigveda, actually the first mantra starts with Agni Mihile Purohitam. Right? From Agni only it starts. All natural forces only. So in the Shanti mantras again, Namo Namaste Vayo. Vayu is worshipped as the Brahman. The wind god. So this is how our tradition is. We worship all nature. We respect them. We do not abuse them. So the very yajna becomes my honoring, my respecting, my appreciating and cooperating with the natural forces in absolute harmony. Then only I become a true devotee. That alone is called a deva yajna. Others are all devotee by name. They are not devotees by real sentiment. So Krishna says, if you respect the natural forces, they will also respect you in return. That's what they will do. If the rivers are kept well, we only get good water. We will get pure water to drink. If you abuse the river, you are not going to get good water. You have to now spend millions and millions of dollars to purify that water. And still it will not be really drinkable perhaps. So by respecting them, you get the benefit. That's what he says. Devan bhavayata devaha bhavayantu vaha. Devan bhavayata devaha bhavayantu vaha. You take care of the panchabhutas. The panchabhutas will take care of you. That's what he says. So you take care of them. So you destroy the panchabhutas, they will destroy you too.
Because that's why we are amidst nature. We are not away from nature. We are amidst nature. So if they are destroyed, we are causing destruction to ourselves. So this is how the ecological problems, how nicely they are put from a different angle in our scriptures. So this is, if people have this thing in mind, we don't have to go through any of these ecological problems that we have today at all, because we look upon every one of them as Lord himself, as the Virat. This is like a Virat Puja, as the Virat form of the Lord, you worship all of them. And in addition to the Panchabhutas, we have got the worship of the sun god. We worship him, Sandhyavandana Karma, every day we use, you know, we call that sun as Mitra, believe it. That sun god, you cannot even measure the surface temperature of the sun, it is so hot. We cannot even go near him. We are so many millions of miles away, that we feel the heart so much. And you call that Lord, that sun god, every morning as Mitra, my friend. How can it be possible? Without that Mitra, can anything in the natural system can sustain? And because of that, he is a friend. You call him as a friend, a dear friend to you. That is how we learn to worship that sun god. The moon also. So everything is natural. So this is called Devayagyam, where my life and my devotion is always there. There is no split personality. I am not a devotee only when I am in front of Guru Ayurappan, and the moment I get out of it, I am not anybody else. No, I am a devotee all the time. 24 hours a day, all the days in a week. So our religion, but the problem is it is appearing to fail, because majority of the people, they are all wonderful bhaktas. Bhaktas, the word bhaktas. In temples, in front of Shankaracharyas, in front of Acharyas and all, they are bhaktas. That's fine. The moment they come out, we know what they are. So the system will never work. If they all have multiple personalities, how it will work? If you want to be a bhakta in front of that Lord, you should be a bhakta in front of another person too. Then only it will work. If mutual respect is not there, it will not work. That is why the system seems to be failing, because then we blame it on the religion. We blame it on our scriptures. We blame it on them. Who is to be blamed? Us, not the scriptures. Scriptures taught you to be like this. Have the equanimity everywhere. But we don't believe in it. We won't be believing this. So it is failing. So many people, they think they are all good-minded people. You know, they wonder, what is the use of this religion? Because it is doing only harm to us. You know, if this religion does not help changing the personality, what is the use of the religion? People ask all this. You know, there are so many questions will come. But people generally, they see this, and without going into the actual reason behind this, they will discount the religion. They will discount the very faith itself. So we have to understand that worship of the Lord and my character cannot be divided. Worship of the Lord and my character cannot be divided. They should be harmonious. They should be one all the time. I am a devotee means it should be shown in my attitude, in my every expression towards the people, towards the creation, towards whomsoever I come in contact with. I should have it all the time. Consciously it should be there. If not, religion will only foster communalism, quarrel, all those things will come. That's what we are seeing every day. Because people do not understand the basic tenet of the religion. They only look at all other things. And so, Devan Bhavayata means respect of natural forces in creation. Devaha, that's a Virat Purusha. This is called Devayagya, to develop this attitude. To develop this attitude and to do the worship and acknowledge the natural forces and respect them, this is called Devayagya. Devayagya is not doing any homa or doing an archana somewhere, or it is not Devayagya. This alone is Devayagya, and should be able to see everything in creation as the Lord. And the next one is called Pitriyagya. See, these are all things why Krishna prescribes them. They are all things which can be followed by everybody. To follow this, there is no distinction, no qualification needed. No qualification should be a person, should be this. No, this can be followed by anybody. The next one he gives is the Pitriyagya, where I remember the contribution of all my ancestors, my forefathers, because of whom I am able to make a living today and I am able to live today because of them. Because of my forefathers, my very existence depended on my parents and their parents and so on. So they have, my parents have done so much for me. Lalanam, palanam, poshanam. They have done so much for me. Without expecting anything. When they did all these things, did they think, oh, this guy is going to become a big guy and going to, you know, help me later and going to, you know, take care of me? No. At the child, there was only affection and nothing else. There was only love at that time. And when they have shown that much, it is my basic duty to show my gratitude to them. That is Pitriyagya. I should be able to remember all the time. So respect for the forefathers, is called Pitri Yajnam. And along with that, they have got some symbolic rites also, like Tarpanam and all. They are symbolic, not that, you know, that only means that. Lot of people, you know, Pitri Yajnam, the father, when he was alive, this guy would not even take, he won't even visit him. And when he is dead, he will do all the Shraddha Karmas. No, no, my father likes only that particular dish. So I will make only that for him. Father is gone. He will do any Shraddha Karma, all that he will do. What is the use of it? He won't even visit the father when he was sick. See, this is how basic people. So how this Pitru, how they want the blessings of the Pitrus. They want the ancestors to bless them. Many times when you look at it, when you look at ourselves, we feel how ridiculous system has become. You know, all these respects have gone. So if a person does all these, but mentally the respect is not there, then it is not Pitri Yajna anymore. If it has to be Pitri Yajna, they have to feel and do it once they are alive, and when they are dead also, should continue to do the same thing. That is the gratitude towards them. We should take care of them all the time. So the spirit behind the symbolic worship should be always adhered to. That is the spirit. The symbolic worship, all the Shraddha Karmas, Tarpanam, they are all symbolic worships. But the spirit behind them is what? Expression of our gratitude. So that spirit should be adhered to, not just only the physical form of doing that, Shraddha Karma or whatever it is. So attitude of respect, gratitude. So when we say forefathers, it is in the general sense, not only just to the forefathers of the immediate family. Forefathers for anybody, for doesn't matter. It is for all the forefathers. They all have contributed to making this society. So we have to pray for all of them. All of them is for that. So this is actually, these are in Shraddha Karma, these are all beautiful things, rituals. Because people do not understand the meaning and the impact of this, they don't. After doing all the, for example, for the immediate forefathers, they will offer this, the so-called the pindas, the rice balls, for the three generations. At the end of all of them, they offer one more call, the vayasa pindam. This is for the vayasa, this crow. And that is for all pitrus. May be related to you, may not be related to you. Ye agni dagdaha, ye anagni dagdaha. There are some people who might be cremated. There people who are there, they could cremate them, no problem. There were many of them were not cremated. They died in an accident somewhere. Don't even know. For those people, no samskaras were done. Even for them, this person remembers and offers that vayasa pindam. What a beautiful tradition you see. How much gratitude has been put into the blood of the system. We don't remember all this because that is, when you go to Gaya, in the Gaya Shraddha, when they do, for mother alone, there are so many pindas. You won't, when you think of that, you will cry. How much you suffered when you gave birth to me. Each, you say each one shloka and describe how much she has gone through to bring me up. For each one, this pindam. For this one, this pindam. For this suffering, this pindam. Go on offering to that. You offer pindam for your pets. There was a dog in the family, it died. Give a pindam to that. Look at that. There is some servant there who had nobody else. Give a pindam to him. All the subordinates. For everybody, you offer a pindam in Gaya. So that their souls also will be in peace. They should also be remembered. They have offered something to the society. Think of them. That dog was a gratitude. Many animal with a lot of gratitude. Offer a pindam to that. Whatever may be your pets. So this our system provides for all this. Only we do not understand all of them. So this is called Pitri Yajnam. And the third Yajnam is called Brahma Yajnam. Brahma Yajnam, here Brahma means the Vedas and the Rishi. Brahma means it's not the creator Brahma. This is Vedas and the Rishi is called Brahma here. They go together. The Vedas and Rishis always go together because the Veda mantras were all as vibrations in space and they were got and given to us by the Rishis only. So we don't think Rishis and Vedas are separate. They are together. Because of the Rishis only, we got the Veda mantras. So we worship them together. So the very word Rishi is used in the sense of Veda itself. Many times. It is used. Because there is no Veda without any Rishi. Because that is how it has been brought. So, and these Vedas, they have come down in the form of, from Anadikala. We do not know when it started. From time immemorial, it has been coming. So we call it Anadikala. We do not know the beginning, when it started. It has been coming from all those times. So even in those Vedas, what it is said, the Guru, from the Guru it has been learned by the Shishya, and the Shishya teaches his Shishya. It has been going on through this parampara. That's why Vedas are called Shruti. They taught this disciple taught his disciple, it went on as Shruti, whatever is heard, and it has been going on in this Anadikala parampara. From when it started, we don't even know. So when all the other cultures,
they were all groping in darkness as to what gives real happiness to them. All cultures, all other cultures. We were so advanced. We had these full scriptures with us, which gave us the full tenet of life, the dharmic life. When all other cultures were all in elementary form, we were in much beyond PhD even. That's what we were. So we have to really thank our rishis who gave us the way of our living. All this art of living is provided by them. So we should be thankful to them all the time. So without these Vedas, there is no tradition. There is no, we are all very, very happy to say that we have inherited a very rich heritage. You can say, oh, this is Jainism so many years, Christianity so many years, Islam so many years, Hinduism, oh, it is time immemorial. We don't even know. We inherited that religion. What are we doing about it? Nothing. Are we really feeling proud to justify that pride? We have to ask that question ourselves. When we do that, then we will think, okay, there is something more to it. We have got such a rich heritage, and that is because of this and this and this. We should learn to respect all of them. So if I should preserve it, I should know its value. Otherwise, I will never be able to preserve it at all because I will not know its importance. That's the problem today. We never try to know what it is. We want somebody else to come and knock at our door and teach us. Who is going to do that? Nobody will do it. We have to go after them to learn. Knowledge is not free anywhere. Knowledge, if it has to come, we have to put an effort. Then only it will come. So people have to put that effort to know what it is. At least we should know what our legacy is and our heritage is. That much at least we should know. We owe it ourselves to know that. Otherwise we'll be in dark about who we are. You know, now many of these people from all this Guyana and all these people, they are all Indians settled there long, long ago. And they are all Guyanese today. But they want to know their roots. And they come to Chennai or some place in India, they want to find out, oh, they bring some chart. So this was my... They want to try to find out their roots. When we are here, when we have the opportunity to know our roots, when we miss it, that's what will happen to us, to our children. So we should today make an effort to know our roots. Not roots means not just who is my father, his father and all. Roots means what our real roots of existence was. Our roots of dharma was. How our roots have been built. We should know all those things, the scriptures particularly, the value of them. So we have to offer worship to all these scriptures and all the rishis. And that is why in Brahma Yajnam, there is, you know, for all the rishis I do a tarpana. And then not only rishis, rishi patnis. You do, for the wives of the rishis, you offer a tarpana. Rigvedam tarpayami, Yajurvedam tarpayami, Samavedam tarpayami, Itihasa Puranam tarpayami, Kalpam tarpayami. For everyone, you offer your gratitude. Remember all of them. If you do not remember all of them, we are going to lose track of ourselves. So every day, that is why they put, for all these people, Purohits and all, who are learning, who are practicing this thing, they put this as a compulsory ritual, Brahma Yajna Prashnam. Every day they have to do Brahma Yajnam and recite some portion of whatever Veda they have learned. For those who have not learned Vedas, they can recite Bhagavad Gita, whatever Stotra. Always try to remember the rishis who gave you this tradition. If you know Veda Mantra, fine. If you do not Veda Mantra, no, just say Bhagavad Gita. Even by Vyasa Maharishi again. By one Gita gave, through Vyasa Maharishi we got it. Gratitude to the Rishi, in whatever form one can think of. So we should be always able to offer our gratitude and worship the Rishis and the Vedas. Then the fourth Yajnam is Manushya Yajnam. Manushya Yajnam, if I am living today, it is because of many individuals who have put their effort and made my life comfortable. There are people who are tillers of the soil. Because they do that, there is agriculture. I am able to get the rice I want to eat. I am eating. So I should be able to thank them. Business people, the rulers, the politicians who are maintaining the country, who are people who are maintaining the economy of the system. All those people, they are working for my benefit. So I should be grateful to all their effort. I should show my respect to them, my appreciation to them. So this is respect for people. That is called Atithi Satkara. Or this is called Atithi Puja Manushya Yajna. This is called respect for all individuals. You are not alone in society. You are part of a society. And in that society, everybody contributes. There should be mutual respect to each other. So we should be able to learn to respect everybody else around us. Every person has something good to offer. Only we should have the ability to tap that from them. Nobody is bad. Nobody is born bad. If somebody appears to be bad, because we should ask ourselves, am I correct in saying that he is bad? Am I correct myself? We have to ask questions to ourselves before we become judgmental about all other people. And finally, there comes the Bhuta Yajna. Buddha Yajna is very, very important Yajna. This means what? Worship of all other beings, the plants, the animals, everything you can, insects. You worship all of them. Without plant kingdom, animal kingdom, the waters we cannot, without the waters we cannot live. They all are needed in system. There are many silent animals. They are scavengers in the system. They keep the system clean. We do not even know about them. There are a lot of earthworms and all who make sure that the earth is completely churned for agriculture. We do not know about them. So we should not do harm to them. That is why in some, you know, a lot of Jains and all, you know, when they walk even, they have the peacock feather to make sure that, you know, nothing, no insect is on the way and all harm. People try to take all these things so that they do not harm anything, you know, even unintentionally. So this is Buddha Yajna. So if we take care of the Pancha Mahayajnas, how our life will be, then we can think how peaceful life we'll be living. Because that we are all looking for Shanti only ultimately. Whatever we do, we think Shanti is available here and there. Just by our sheer simple way of living, we can get Shanti. These are all simple things which anybody can do. It doesn't require any big knowledge in Vedas and any of those things. All these things do not need any knowledge in any of them. We can be very simple person without knowing anything, but with just this sense of gratitude to be a good human being. That's what. And when a person follows this, that person becomes a total being. Otherwise, he is a human being in frame. That's all. He's not a total being at all. So we have to make sure that we do all these things. Somehow we have got out of this tradition and we think devotion is going to the temple and praying before that Guru Ayyarappan or somewhere, doing an archana, pray for 15 minutes. And, you know, that's what we think. In that, a devotee in the true sense of the term will be an ideal person in a society. That's what, who is a devotee? Is an ideal person in a society. He is a true devotee. If every devotee can live like that, then there will be no unrest at all in the world. As I told in the last class, a right-based society is only a fight-based society. Everybody knows their rights. Nobody knows their duties. Nobody wants to know their duty. They know somebody else's duty. Wife's duty, they know. Not his duty. So Krishna says, Anena yajnena devan bhavayata. O Arjuna, by this yajna, may you worship all gods. Here, God representing the Brahma Yajna, Manusha Yajna, Bhuta Yajnas, all those things. That's what he means. And te devaha vabhavayantu. You take care of them, they will certainly take care of you. You take care of them, you respect them, they will respect you back. So the more I am selfish, nobody will take care of me. If I am selfish, who is going to take care of me? Nobody else. If I contribute to the society, then the society will contribute back to me. Very simple thing, simple logic. That is why Krishna says, te devaha vaha bhavayantu. The devas, the whole creation. Devas represent the whole creation, the panchabhutas and all those things. They will take care of you. As you treat, you will be treated. Thus parasparam bhavayantaha. Parasparam means mutually. Mutually respecting each other. That is how you should live in society. Respecting each other mutually. Then if you do that, param shreyaha avapsyata. By this, may you attain the ultimate good. Param shreyaha. The ultimate good, the supreme good, you get dharma, artha, kama, and moksha also. Because then by that you will get chitta shuddhi, then you will get jnanam, through jnanam you will get moksha. So you will get all these things also. By doing all these things, you will get param shreyaha. You will get the greatest supreme good. And actually Krishna concludes this topic in the next shloka, giving us a warning. So he gives all these things and he is telling now, I am telling this for your good. If you do not take it, you will have to face the consequence. That's what Krishna says with the warning in the next shloka. Ishtan bhogan ki o devaha.
Ishtan bhogan ki o devaha. Ishtan bhogan ki o devaha.
Dasyante yajna bhavitaha.
Dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Dasyante yajna bhavitaha.
Bhogan hi vo devaha dasyante yajna bhavitaha
krishan bhogan hi vo devaha dasyante yajna bhavitaha krishan bhogan hi vo devaha dasyante yajna bhavitaha
taidattana pradayebhyah
taidattana pradayebhyah taidattana pradayebhyah
yobhunktestena eva saha
yobhunktestena eva saha
தானப்ரதாயைப்யஹ யோ புங்க்தே ஸ்தேன ஏவ ஸஹ The gods, Devaha, will certainly give all the pleasures. Purusharthas, they will give all of them. More crop, more energy, more rains, they are all provided. Whatever you seek, Ishtan Bhogan, all the desired sense objects. Ishtan Bhogan means whatever is the desired sense object, Devaha, Dasyante, the Devas will give you. When? Yajna Bhavitaha, if they are worshipped through these yajnas. When they are approached with the proper respect and attitude, they will give. Yajna means that, not homas. When they are approached with the proper attitude and respect, the devas, they will give them. So we should know that the balance should not be unsettled at all, anytime. Balance should be maintained. I respect them, they respect me. It should be making use of nature and it should not be one of exploiting the nature. That's what we normally do now. We should be only making use of nature, not exploiting it. If it becomes one of greed, it is like hen hatching the golden egg story. If it becomes one of greed, then if you want to destroy anything for your pleasure, then you have forgotten the yajna concept. So if you try to destroy the nature, then you have forgotten the yajna concept. So what you should do? Your cooperation and your contribution also must be there all the time. Nature cooperates with you first. So we should learn to cooperate with nature also all the time. If not, Krishna gives a warning here. Taihi dattan yaha bhunkte. If a person enjoys those pleasures given by the gods, all those pleasures, whatever we get in nature, we enjoy them. Yebhyaha apradaya, without giving anything in return. If somebody is enjoying all these things without anything giving back in return, then that person is called, Krishna is very strong. He is calling him Tenaha, a thief. If you take from nature and if you are not giving back to nature, if you are not giving back to society, Krishna calls them like a strong term, a thief in society. He's a thief. The law is you should get nothing free of cost. In America, there's a good saying, there is no free meal. You should get nothing free of cost from anybody. Period. If you get, then somebody wants to give you, you are happy. No. If you want to get from something, fine, but you should be able to give it back to him, or if he doesn't want to accept, give it somewhere else to help somebody else or donate it to somewhere. No free meal. Because what is our scriptures, what our tradition is, when you accept material from somebody, what comes with it? Not just the material alone, his vasanas, his ragadveshas come with it. So you do not want to accept his raga dveshas. He may be a good person. You may get his punyam. But finally you don't want to have punyam also, right? If you want to go to moksha, you don't want to have punyam also. If you want to, don't want to have pava, you don't want to have punyam also. Both have to be removed, right? So tenaha, he is called a thief in society. Yaha swayam bhungte saha tenaha eva. He is a thief alone. If one takes from the Lord and does not want to share with anybody or does not want to give to anybody else. So if I get something as free, I should give something as donation. If it is received the equivalent of that, I should be spending as elsewhere for somebody else. A person who is needy, educate some other child, give it to an orphanage, whatever one wants to do, they can try to do it if you get something free from somewhere. The moment we don't keep this balance by compensation, we are becoming thieves. That's what Krishna says. In the creation, it becomes an imbalance. That's what it means. Imbalance, it's a disturbance. So ultimately, it will affect me and the entire society. That's what it is going to do. That is why if a person receives a lot of wealth, in those days, he may get a lot of wealth. What he will do? He will do a big yajna. In the yajna, the entire village is fed. So many Brahmins are given sambhavanas. So many cattle, they are all given as dhanam. So he spends all that money in that because he got it from the king. He doesn't want to keep it to himself. Does a big yajna and give it to all the people. So that's what he does. So the moment I get something free, I become a thief. Krishna calls him a thief. You know, we don't interpret it this way. We think, oh, it is his goodwill he gave to me. That's right. That's what we all think. We are comfortable to think like that. Krishna says, no. Do not accept anything free from anybody. Even if they give you with goodwill, you pray for their goodwill. Give it somewhere. If he does not have to go and do an archana for him for his birthday. Pray for him. For his welfare. He gave it to you free with good intention. You also pray for him with good intention elsewhere. So that's what he says. So generally we are happy when we get something free. In scriptures, you know, you should not be happy at all. You should offer to pay. If they refuse to take it back, immediately spend on something else. Something else like a donation. Or to your temple, supporting social cause. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be only donated to a temple. A social cause. So with this topic, the yajna topic is over. The yajna angle is concluded. Vishnu's yajna topic. Yajna angle is concluded. Now Krishna is going to look at it from a different angle in the next shloka. Yajna shishtashina santaha.
Yajna shishtashina santaha. Yajna shishtashina santaha.
Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi.
Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi.
Yajna shishtashina santaha. Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi.
Yajna shishtashina santaha. Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. Yajna shishtashina santaha.
Munjate te swagam papaha.
Munjate te swagam papaha. Munjate te swagam papaha.
E pachantyatma karanat.
E pachantyatma karanat. E pachantyatma karanat.
Munjate te swagam papaha. E pachantyatma karanat.
Munjate te swagam papaha. E pachantyatma karanat.
Krishna is looking at from a different angle now, a third angle. So Krishna called karma yoga as duty first. That's what we saw first. That is, it is Ishvara Shashanam. It is the commandment of the Lord, I have to obey. A sense of obedience to the Lord. So that is number one karma yoga, he said, from that angle. Then he said from the angle of gratitude, I show it through my yajna, worship of the Lord. So he is not but in this particular shloka, he is not taking it either as duty or yajna. He is now looking at from a different angle. He takes it as Chitta Shuddhi, purifying the mind, the Chitta Shuddhi angle. So the duty angle is over, Yajna angle is over. Now the third angle is Chitta Shuddhi. So Karma Yoga means it is for Chitta Shuddhi, for my purification of my mind, which in turns will lead to Atma Jnana. It's a means for Atma Jnana, to know myself. So from this angle alone, we call it by the name Yoga. Yoga means any sadhanam or practice which will help attain moksha. That is yoga. Yujyate anena iti yoga. That by which a person is joined to the destination. Yuj means to join. So any means which joins the sadhaka with the sadhyam. Sadhyam is moksha here. So any means that will join the sadhaka, the person, the performer, the devotee, to the sadhyam, the moksha, is called yoga. So from this angle alone, it is called karma yoga. From this angle alone, it is called karma yoga. So whether you want to do your duty or worship, this is not we are bothered about here. We are not bothered in this, the duty angle or the yajna angle, no. We are going by a different angle. Are you interested in your own moksha or not, is the question. Don't worry about duty, don't worry about yajna. Are you interested in moksha? Then come here. Have to go for Chitta Shuddhi first. If you are for your personal good, you need jnana. If you want moksha, jnana is a must. If you don't have jnana, you cannot get moksha. So if you want to get jnana, Chitta Shuddhi is must. To get Chitta Shuddhi, Karma Yoga is must. So now you look at Karma Yoga as a means for getting Chitta Shuddhi, your purity of mind. So for Chitta Shuddhi, we have to do Karma Yoga. So Krishna says, Yajna Shishtashinaha Santaha Sarva Kilbishaihi Muchyante. By practicing Karma Yoga, Muchyante, those seekers, they become free from. Muchyante means they become free from, they are liberated from. What? Sarva Kilbishaihi, all types of sins. Kilbisha means sins. All types of sins they are free from. They are made free from this. From all types of sins, they are freed from all of them. So he actually puts it in a slightly different language. Yajna Shishtam Ashinaha Santaha. Ashinaha means eating. Ashinaha means eating. By eating the prasadam, which comes at the end of any yajna. You perform an yajna, there is an yajna prasadam. There are so many things you offer at the Homagunda. And you are offering so many things. Something will be remaining. And that something that is remaining is called Yajna Shishtam. And that is what is remaining, that is supposed to go to the devas, something is remaining, so that becomes prasadam, yajna prasadam, that is consumable, that can consume. So yajna shishta ashinaha means the one who consumes the yajna system, which is the prasadam. Yajna shishta ashinaha. So yajna shishta means remnant of an yajna. So avasesha of an yajna is this one. And ashinaha, those people who partake it, who eat that prasadam, those people who eat the yajna prasadam, they become free from all types of sins. That is what the statement says here. We have to analyze that. But so all those people who take the yajna prasadam, they are freed from the sins. That's what Krishna says. So when we say yajna prasadam, then we should understand this properly. Because that is where the question comes. The moment we say yajna prasadam, we immediately think of a yajna and put a lot of ghee, so some ghee is remaining, drink the ghee. That is why all, you know, some people, how they interpret the Soma Yajnas. Soma Yajna is done by the Soma creeper, that is the juice from the Soma juice. I have seen the Soma Yajnas and all these many other Yajnas I have seen. And the people who perform the Yajna, they make this, actually to bring the Soma creeper, it's a big ritual. They bring it in a kind of horse-driven kind of a cart with a lot of mantras and all. They bring it and they pound it and then they extract the juice out of it. And the juice is offered into the yajna. So they offer yajna into the juice into the yajna. Some juice will be remaining. So whatever is remaining, small amount, very small amount, maybe one udharani, so two spoons, three spoons. That the people who are performing, they will share it among themselves because that cannot be wasted. Because it's yajna system. So whatever is offered, whatever is remaining cannot be wasted, thrown away. So they will consume. So there is a Soma juice. So what these guys, our rationalists will come. They will say, this is Soma juice. All these people who are doing yajna, they are all drunkards. Soma juice, you know, one spoon is remaining. This is Soma juice. Soma creeper, it's a natural plant. From that, this thing, so they are all drunkards. See, this is yajna shishta prasadam. So we are not talking about that prasadam right now. Here we are going to interpret it totally differently. So we will see that. And that leftover is not mine. That is to be offered to the Lord, but it was not offered completely. So it's not mine. Actually, every time when we do ahuti in the yajnas, the person will recite the mantra and then say, Suryaya, this is Suryaya idam. This is for Surya Devata. Na mama, not me, mine. Each time they will disown. Varunaya idam, this is for Varuna Devata, not for me, namama. Each time he will disown, this is not mine, this is for that Devata. So this is whatever is the remaining thing, he takes his yajna system as prasadam. So whatever comes back is considered to be yajna prasadam or yajna sishtaha. Anything you offer to the Lord, whatever is remaining comes back, it is yajna sishta. So if it is something consumable, you consume. You know, if it is not consumable, if it is a flower, it's a prasadam. Go to the temple, they give you a flower. You may not be able to eat the flower. You put it in your head, you put it in your eyes, put it in your right ear, you do all that thing. It's supposed to be taken, not throw it. That's what it means. You are not supposed to disrespect it. You are supposed to take it and then take it with respect. So if it is the food we cook, then there also, whatever food we cook at home, we cook food for eating, we cook the food. If we directly eat the food, it becomes annam. If you take the food, it is annam. But if it is offered to the Lord and taken, it becomes prasadam. The same food. So before consuming, think of that Lord for that 1 second. And then offer it to the Lord mentally. You don't have to go to a puja room, sit there and do all this nivedan. You don't have to do any of those. Wherever you are, think of that Lord. Oh Lord, because of you, I have got this square meal today. Think of that gratitude. Offer that gratitude for a second. And then take it, then it becomes a prasadam. The moment you consume it as prasadam, you will respect it then. Our attitude will be one of respect. We won't throw it, we won't waste it, we won't abuse that food, we won't do all, because it's prasadam. So every time you consume the food, you take it as prasadam. After offering to the Lord. So anything that comes after it is, after the performance of an yajna, is called yajna prasada. Here eating is also an yajna. It's also an yajna, prana. So you offer it to yourself and then go to the Lord and then take it. But if it is not any ritual, suppose I am working in a place, in some company. So in the form of an yajna, I work in the company and offer my work to the Lord. Whatever work I do, I am assigned to the company, I offer it to the Lord. I do it with that attitude. I am not offering to my boss. Offering because he is the one who is looking over me. This guy may not look over me all the time. But he is looking over me. I should think like that. Should be honest, do my work sincerely. Offer it to the Lord. Then what will be the yajna prasadam there? There is no Agni Prasadam in this thing. If there is no flower is given, he is not going to call you and hug you and give you a flower. No, he is not going to do all that. From the company, we will not get any rice or fruit or any of those prasadam. But whatever palam we get, the reward I get, the salary I get, that is Agni Prasadam. So treat that salary or reward or whatever you got from that company as Agni Prasadam of your sincerity and of your work, of your yajna. So this is what in worldly activity, day to day, we should all remember to do it that way. It is not just some salary being deposited in some bank. Now we don't even see salary at all. It's all going to the bank and you write bank automatic payments are all going, so you don't even see money, real money at all anywhere. It is all, everything automatically paid. But think of that as a prasadam. So prasada need not be always only eatable prasadam. It need not be only raisins or payasam or any of those, okay? It can be any prasada. So anything that comes from the Lord is prasada. You know where I am gearing to us, that is going to be now interesting now. So anything that comes from the Lord is prasada. So you have done some work, whatever comes from the Lord is prasada. You offered it to the Lord, whatever comes from that is a prasada. That's what we are taking. So if it is eatable, I eat. If not, I will make you serve it in appropriate way. Whatever is appropriate, I will make you serve it. That's what I will do. Suppose I meet a person for a business, I can convert that meeting into an yajna. It's a dharmic meeting. No, don't worry about the other kind of meetings. This dharmic meeting, I consider it also as an offering to the Lord. And that meeting can be successful or it can be failure. It's a business meeting with somebody. So you have had the meeting and the meeting you have offered to the Lord. And the meeting result may be successful or failure from the business angle part of you. Right? It can be anything. But I consider the very meeting itself as an yajna. That's what I have done. So at the end of the meeting, whatever is the outcome becomes yajna prasada. It can be success or it can be failure. We are very happy to see take success as prasada. Failure we don't want to take as prasada. Right? That's what the mind has to evolve to become like that. It has to evolve to accept any result. Do you have any control on the result? No. You have control on your work only. Karmanyeva adhikarahate, karmanyeva. Mapaleshu. So the result, you have no authority on that. So you take it as Ishwara prasadam. So this Ishwara arpana buddhi, whatever I do, I offer to the Lord. Ishwara arpanam. And whatever comes out of that job, that work, as Ishwara prasada buddhi. Once that is there, we have no problem at all. Right? So Ishwara arpana buddhi and Ishwara prasada buddhi, that is what should be developed. A karma yogi has that. Karma yogi will have that thing. So whatever yajna I do, whatever I get in return becomes a prasadam. We do not at that time analyze what that prasadam is. Today you might have gone to the temple, they will give you only a raisin as prasadam. Tomorrow you would have gone, they would have gone a banana which is spoiled, prasadam. Another day, nice apple prasadam. Another day, he will give you a basket of apples prasadam. Is there any difference in any of them? All are prasadams. Why I am saying this thing is, I know people who have argued with me, why argued with me, fight with me. You know, I manage a lot of temples. Fight with me. One trustee will say, his wife got one apple, my wife got, you got two apples, my wife got one apple. What? They are building temples. Now, when you sit back and think, it looks ridiculous. But how mind is, think of that. We are building a temple. And this is what we are looking to arguing. You gave two apples to her and one apple to my wife. So, because Ishwara Atmana Buddhi and Ishwara Prasada Buddhi has not come yet. So, it will take a lot of time to come. But the beauty is here what? Everything that I will get in life is going to be karma palam only. About which I have no control. Whatever I do, I have a lot of control in the work. I can plan very well everything I can do. Whatever comes out of it, I have no control on that. So what you should do? Gracefully accept it. Accept it as the prasadam from the Lord and try to deal with it. There is no point in worrying about it. Try to deal with it. So suppose somebody gets a disease now. I might not have done any apathyam today to get that disease. Yesterday I might not have done, day for us, but I have got it. My prarabdha. It is my pura karma. Whatever I have done, I have got this disease today. So it might be the result of some action done several days ago, months ago, or even in the previous birth, I don't even know. So in my life, everything I get is my karma phalam. Do not blame anybody else for what we are today. If you have a problem, it is not because of X or my neighbor. It is because of me. My own karma has given rise to this karma phalam. If I have to deal with that bad guy, my prarabdha. Don't blame him. We don't be judgmental whether he is good or bad. My prarabdha. If my prarabdha is good, I won't come into his company. I'll be myself in a good things. So if karma is converted to yajna, if every karma that we do, whatever action we do, if it is converted to yajna, everything I get will become yajna shishta. You know, that's the word Krishna used in the sloka. It becomes yajna shishta or yajna prasada. So everything offered to the Lord, whatever comes out becomes yajna prasada. So I receive it with what buddhi? Prasada buddhi. I take it as prasada. So those people who accept the results of this action as yajna prasada, what benefit they are going to get? Krishna says, sarva kilbishaihi muchyante. They become free from all sins, all papam. And now we should ask another question. What do we mean by papam? What is sin? Well, sin is something one has to understand very carefully. Sin, one way is a very, very simple way. Because the karma is done in the form of an yajna, my karma has become a puja. Whatever it's done in yajna, it's become a puja. So since I have done Ishwara puja, I should get purification of the mind. Because of the anugraha of the Lord, I will get purification of the mind. So my mind becomes purer and purer. Even though I am doing worldly activity, because of the grace of God, my mind gets purer. I may be doing still all day-to-day activities, it may look even mundane activities. But my mind gets purer and purer because I am doing it with a sense of offering it to the Lord. Okay. Therefore, muchyante sarvakil bishaihi. This is one way of looking at it. The person will become free from all kinds of sins, all kinds of papas. But if you want to look at it logically, how you get purity of mind by worshipping the Lord? How do we get purity of mind by worshipping the Lord? You go and offer some archana there, we get purity of mind. Purity of mind is not by you and get on free anywhere. You cannot just get it somewhere, right? By buying an archana ticket, it doesn't come that easily. It is ragadvesha. It is ragadvesha alone. All problems that we have can be reduced to the fundamental problem of ragadvesha, likes and dislikes. So kilbisham means ragadvesha here. Kilbisham is not sin here. Kilbisham means ragadvesha. And because of ragadvesha, what happens? We have to again analyze it in a deeper way. When I receive the results of an action, because of the ragadvesha, I did some karma. So when I receive the results of the action, what do? I react. That is the problem. Because of ragadvesha, when the result of the action comes, I tend to react. Sometimes reactions are explosive reactions. We always try to react. So if it is up to the mark, then I receive the result commonly. Okay, it's fine. This is what I did. This is up to the mark. Fine. To my satisfaction. If it is much more than what I expected, I jump. Yes, much more than what I got, I jump up and down. If it is not, I am depressed. So these are all reactions because of the karma phalam. Whatever action I have done, the ragadvesha gives rise to all these things. This is because of my own ragadvesha. So when I have the prasada buddhi, I accept the result as Ishwara's gift. Ishwara's prasadam. So I don't get elated. Ishwara's prasadam, I say to all prasadams are same. We don't get elated. It is not the karma phala I am getting. Because if ragadvesha, if you attribute to that, then what you are getting as the result of your action is your karma phala. Whereas when you take it as Ishwara prasadam, you are not getting karma phala anymore. You are getting Ishwara prasadam now. The same karma phalam by your attitude has become Ishwara prasadam. So that is how mind should be trained to think. This will not come overnight. This has to be again and again, be dinned again and again, because the ragadvesha is so strong in our mind, it won't just go by a small, a dish detergent. You cannot wipe it off. You need to chisel it out. Because several janmas have come. So you have to chisel it out. It doesn't go that easily. It will take time. But every time we have to remind ourselves to do that. At least we will become a step closer. So it is the prasada of the Lord, coming from the Lord. So I can never entertain it with any different attitude. It is prasada of the Lord. So whatever be the type of prasada, it is welcome to me. That attitude should come. It is only, normally the Shani Bhagavan, when Shani Dasa comes, They normally say, oh, Shani has come, it's all bad, you know, that's also the Sadesati. They say, you know, come 7.5 years. They are all afraid. But a learned astrologer will say, Shani is the great teacher. He is the great teacher of real life. So you don't think Shani Bhagavan as a person who is, oh, he's Shani. He's a great teacher. Because he teaches you how to deal with life. Because through otherwise, when everything is going hanky-dory, no problem. When there is problem comes, how do I deal with it? Who can, you can always be judgmental about somebody else's problem. We can give free advice. Everybody can give advice, no problem. I can give a lot of advice. How sweet should be, I can give advice. When it comes to me, then how do I react? That is where we should have an equanimity, a good balance in mind. So, normally people give, you know, various types of attitude in terms of receiving the prasadam. Here it should be always, for example, Tirupati, nice big temple, beautiful temple, laddu, big laddu prasadam. There is a small temple, only a couple of raisins prasadam. Both are prasadams. Big laddu is nice. So Tirupati, we got a big prasadam from Tirupati. Does it become any bigger than this other prasadam? Both are large prasadam. So the inner eye of devotion, we should look at them with the inner eye of devotion. We should not just look at them externally. With the devotion, we should look at them. Then they are all prasadams, and they all should be taken with that respect, with that respect to the Lord. So we find things remaining. So what do we find now in this? Things remaining same, the things remaining different. When our attitude changes, they all become the same. They may be different to the external eye, but through the internal eye of devotion, they all look the same because of only one reason: my attitude towards them changed. That's all we have to do. We have to work towards that thing. So because of prasada buddhi, the raga dvesha will not be able to harm me anymore. Because I am doing it with the prasada buddhi. I am accepting the result not as karma palam, but as Ishwara prasadam. So the raga dvesha cannot strike me anymore. I don't have the problem of raga dvesha. It becomes a great protection from these two gundas, raga and dvesha. This Ishwara prasada buddhi becomes great protection. Because these two are the ones which are constantly following us, and every moment in our life, they make us jump up and down. They take us up, they take us down. This raga dvesha always haunting us. Once I have got the Ishwara arpana buddhi and Ishwara prasada buddhi, that whatever raga dvesha I will have will be nullified. We will minimize it. So raga dvesha becomes nullified, then they become incapacitated. So the neutralization of raga dvesha alone is called the purification of mind, chitta shuddhi. So what do we mean by purity of mind? That's what this discussion was for. Chitta shuddhi means neutralization of raga dvesha, purification of the mind. So chitta shuddhi, so raga dvesha can be made incapable of disturbing any person if he can go through this. So once raga dvesha does not disturb me, that alone is called vairagyam. We call it in Vedanta by another term called vairagyam. That is vairagyam. So viveka and vairagya, they become one of the sadhana, chatushtaya, sampattihi. We have seen this thing earlier. So they make us eligible to go through jnana marga, to get moksha ultimately. So once I get such a mind which is not disturbed, which is not perturbed at all, then I can study scriptures. So when somebody says aham brahmasmi, then it will make sense to me. Even though I am not Brahman yet, I can relate to it. I can relate to the equanimity of outlook. I can relate to what devotion really means. I can relate to who devotee is. I can think of all those things meaningfully once I get this chitta shuddhi. Otherwise, we cannot get chitta shuddhi, this thing at all. Otherwise, we will be always, you know, when we go to Tirupati, all those guys who are waiting in line for 2 days and 3 days and going and having darshan, look at those guys' devotion. I would like to go bypass the entire thing, and I also want to go, I have no time. I also go there quickly. I have my devotion too. There is a difference. For everything, there is a difference. How do you look at it? There is a difference. So, otherwise, when I sit for the study, the mind does not stay quiet. If this purity is not there, mind does not stay quiet, because throughout the day, the mind has reacted. Since morning, mind has been reacting for every situation. So, evening, I am going and sitting for 1 hour for meditation. Will that mind be calm? For the full day, 12 of us, you have been only reacting all the time. Such an agitated mind. It is not going to be calm for the 15 minutes in a meditation room. So with a depressed mind, you listen to Vedanta, what happens? Nothing will happen. It will cause more depression, perhaps. So Karma Yoga creates an ideal condition in the mind for getting jnana. So it is called Karma Yoga. Because it is giving karma, a mere karma, an action is converted to Karma Yoga by this attitude which has given me Chitta Shuddhi and which will enable me to get Atma Jnana. On the other hand, if somebody doesn't do that, Bunjate te swagam papaha ye pachanti atma karanat. Krishna is comparing here a karma yogi with a karmi, a person who is just only action oriented, who does only actions. Lot of people who do only activities. And who is a karmi here? Karmi is a person who does not have this yajna buddhi. He doesn't have the attitude of offering everything to the Lord. Ishwar arpanam is not there. And Ishwar Prasadam is also not there. So he says, I am doing this action. I started this business. I expect this much profit from here. There is no Ishwar Arpana Buddhi at all. Everything he says, himself, he does that. And then what happens to him? He says, Ye Atma Karanat Pachanti. Pachanti means the people who cook. Cooking is normally in technical things, they cook the results normally. So these are all people who cook. Yeah, cook means any action. Cooking is only a representative action. Here, any action. The people who do any action, Atma Karanat, for the sake of themselves. For those people who do any action for the sake of themselves, not with an attitude as a Ishwar Arpana. They think that they are doing it for themselves, those people. Here, Atma does not mean Sachidananda Atma. Here, Atma means one's oneself. Here, it's called Karyakarana Sangataha. So, reflective pronoun here. So, on the other hand, those people who cook or do action for themselves, they are called karmis, the karmi. We have seen this term earlier. So karma yogi acts for the Lord. So yajnartham pachati. A karma yogi, he works for the Lord. Yajnartham pachati. Whereas the karmi atmartham or bogartham pachati. For his own pleasures, for his own selfish motive, this person is doing work. Whereas the other person does work for the sake of the Lord. As an yajna, offering to the Lord. So this is what the karmi and the karma yogi does. So cooking remaining the same, acting remaining the same, whatever may be the action remaining the same, only the attitude between the karmi and the karma yogi varied. And they both eat the food. He also cooked, both are going to eat the food. One will eat it as naivedyam, offer it to the Lord. Another will eat it as food. That is the difference between them. So when they eat for themselves, the people who eat for themselves without offering to the Lord, without the Ishwar Arpana Buddhi, they are called Te Agam Punjate. Agam means papam, sin. So even though they are eating food, they are not eating food. They are eating papam. They are eating sin. Krishna, how strong he is. Those people who do work without the attitude of offering to the Lord, when they eat the food, they are eating the food as agam, as papam, as sin. And what do you mean by papam again? Here also we should understand, this is only a symbolic representation. Papam means the food, creates the reaction in the mind. When you take the food, it creates a reaction in mind. Right? And if the food is good, we are happy. Well, nice food, no problem. I enjoyed food so nicely. If not, what will do? It will create a reaction in their mind. The reaction can turn to some other action. The sauces may fly. We don't know what they will do. So, a person, when they say eating papam, when they say eating agam, they are going to react to whatever they do. Whatever action they do, they will be reactive. That is what is meant by eating papam. Because it is going to create a karma balam. And it's going to contribute to his karmas. It is going to again create problems for him later. So when a karma is done for my own sake, if it succeeds, it will be fine. If it is not, I will be depressed. Reaction. I'll be depressed. So, agam punjate means they become susceptible to, they become vulnerable to mental reaction, tension, agitation, worry. All those things, they come when they do it in this manner. When they are a karmi, when they are looking at the karma palam, it is going to cause them all these reactions, all this whatever reaction one can think of. That alone is called papa bhojanam. Agam punjate means papa bhojanam, eating the papa, eating the sin means that. And once they react, then it will lead to another action. And the whole life becomes a chain reaction. You first react, Then for that reaction you do another action. Then another action follows. It becomes a whole chain reaction. Because every action is governed by Ragadvesha, and that is going to succeed or fail. It is going to lead to further Ragadvesha and so on. It is going to be ever Ragadvesha, Ragadvesha build up. Thus they will be piling up Ragadveshas only all the time, which will in turn create more and more action. More Ragadvesha, more action. More likes, more dislikes, more action. If you something you like, you want to go after it. If you something dislike, you want to throw it. Both are actions. You have to go on doing action. So it is karma leading to palam, leading to Ragadvesha. That is the cycle will get go on getting repeated. So karma leading to karma palam leading to Ragadvesha, cycle repeated. So by the time they become 60, what happens then? Ragadvesha has not reduced. Still it has built up even more perhaps. But they have become, it's become such a big affair at that age, and a person has piled so much piles and piles of Ragadvesha, Vedanta is going to be far, far, far away from that person. Vedanta will not make any sense to him at all. Because Ragadvesha is so much. What are you going to do with that? For everything, even Vedanta, you will look at it with Ragadvesha. That's what happened. So moksha marga will be completely sealed. They will become again part of the cycle of birth and death and birth and death. Again going on again and again. What is the next lot? We don't even know. Next birth may not be a human birth. We don't even know that. We have no control on that. So whatever best opportunity a person had in this human janma is lost forever. Person cannot get it at all. So karma yoga is a means to liberation and karma is an obstacle to liberation. So this is what Krishna says in this shloka very, very strongly, that a person who is a karmi, he is eating papam, means he is going to go through this Ragadvesha issue all the time. Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Annad bhavanti bhutani. Annad bhavanti bhutani.
Parjanyadanna sambhavah.
Parjanyadanna sambhavah. Parjanyadanna sambhavah.
Annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyadanna sambhavah.
Annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyadanna sambhavah. Annat bhavanti bhutani parjanyadanna sambhavah.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyah.
Yajnat bhavati parjanyah. Yajnat bhavati parjanyah.
Yajna karma samudbhavah.
Yajna karma samudbhavah. Yajna karma samudbhavah.
Yajnyat bhavati parjanyah yajna karma samudbhavah.
Yajnyat bhavati parjanyah yajna karma samudbhavah. Yajnyat bhavati parjanyah yajna karma samudbhavah.
So in this shloka 14th, 15th and 16th, all these three lokas, the shlokas, Krishna is looking at karma yoga from the scientific angle. For the people who are non-believers or so people, you know, the angle of dharma or harmony in creation. He looks at them from those angles. In all the other cases, there is a little bit of religion was involved in the first three, whatever we have been seeing so far. Because we have to accept the Lord when I practice karma yoga from all the other angles that we just described. If it is duty, you know, we said, you know, Swami Prajanyaya, you are thinking the Lord as the master. So you are his servant. So you have to accept there is a Lord. And you have to accept him also as a master. So there is a faith involved, some religion involved. And here also in Yajna, you are doing Ishwar Arpanam to the Lord. So there is a Lord. You have to have faith in the Lord. And then he offer everything, all your actions to that Lord. So those faith and that those religious things, they all come in the way for those people. So as whether as worship or as duty. So if I take karma as a means of liberation, then I should accept such a thing as called liberation also in those cases. Because he has to accept liberation also because we are coming. Thinking karma yoga will become a means of liberation. So you should accept what is liberation. Moksha, there is something called moksha. All those things they have to accept. Only then only it will appeal to them. Right? But a person doesn't believe in all this. Let us say he doesn't live with moksha. Nobody has seen. So I have no faith in them. I have not seen any God also. I have no faith in him also. Yeah, people can have this thing, right? They can be good people. But they may not believe in these things. That is fine too. No, they can do that. So there the yajna or the niyatam concept will not work for them. Yajna will not work for them. They don't believe in that, right? So even the moksha concept will not work because they do not believe in moksha also. So for such a person, we can talk karma yoga only from this angle of karma. which every thinking person will have to accept. Because it's action. Action you are doing. You have to accept. So if you look at it from the angle of action, anybody, regardless of whether he's a believer or non-believer, should accept it. So now we are going to look at it from that angle. So the angle here, what the angle is what? Is to make the person appreciate the oneness of the creation or the harmonious wholeness of creation. That's what Krishna is trying to address. Instead of saying that there is a Lord and all those things, don't believe in them, doesn't matter. There is no liberation, moksha, fine, don't believe in them. But you believe that you are existing in this creation. There are so many other things also along with you. So many things in life. So you have to maintain a harmony among all of them. You should be able to develop a sense of mutual respect for each of them. So this is common sense that people can definitely appeal to. So it's a very, very... The harmonious nature of everything in creation, to understand that is difficult. Yeah, it's a difficult thing to understand. How to understand that, you know, they are all same. It's very difficult to understand. Because to have this mission, my mind has to expand tremendously. Normally, I think of what? Myself first. And to expand that mind, what they did? They married you to somebody. So you expanded to one more person now. So now instead of thinking only saving food for myself, saving for another person also. Then you got children. Expanded some more. Not only to the wife, to the children also. Now you are part of a big family, joint family, whatever family. Think of that family also. Most people stop there. Now most people stop with the wife and perhaps kids, that's it. Earlier at least the joint family was there, they thought about others. Now that's gone almost. Now without stopping there, one thinks of the village, one thinks of the town, one thinks of the society. You expand your vision slowly and see that you are part of that big makeup. Not just only a small drop of water in a well. You think of you as part of a big, big total makeup of all people, all things in creation. That is what Krishna is trying to teach here. Because I should look upon creation as one whole body. Because I exist because somebody else did something for me. So I should respect that person. He may not be my relative. He is totally different person. Some pillar of a soil. I don't know. Whole body. So even though there are many parts in creation, they are not isolated ones. They are not compartmentalized separately. They are all part of the whole. I should be able to look at it that way. They are not separate, but they are all one. For example, various organs of the body. I am one person. I have hand, I have leg, I have head, all those things. They are all different organs of the body. But the body is one. So I should look at this whole creation as one, where there are so many things. There are animal kingdom, there are plant kingdom, there are human beings, there are waters. All those things are there. They are all part of the whole. I should be able to develop that attitude. Because I benefit from all of them. All of them contribute. If I get rain, the ocean waters, they become clouds and they go and rain somewhere. I get the rain because of that thing. So I should be able to relate to that. It is not something isolated. If I am just existing somewhere without any of these resources, can I survive? I cannot. So I should be able to appreciate that and think of it in this manner. So the very idea of Virat is only looking at it in this angle. But instead of saying that as Virat, you can say it this way. So once I get this idea, then I understand I as an individual or as we as a society or even as a nation or humanity, whatever it is, not only we have a duty to ourselves, we have also a duty to everybody around us. Everything in nature, we have a duty towards all of them. Not only duty, we have a responsibility to all of them. So only then, the idea of a selfishness will completely go. Otherwise, we will be only thinking within the box. Always, we will be selfish only. The more I am aware of the totality, my relationship with everything else, the more I understand the role of myself as an individual in that total, in that society. And now, you know, if at all we suffer, it is because what? I am interested only in myself. Right? Because I am localized. It's only my suffering. The more we are self-centered, the more our activities are also going to be self-centered. We are going trying to do everything for us. We will get into problem. We have to suffer. We have no ability to share with somebody else. We don't want to go and seek help from somebody else. Because you don't want to give help to somebody else. It's a problem. So the more we are aware of the others, the more our activities will become selfless. The more we are considerate about the other person, we become selfless. So this is, as I told you, the darshanam at the temple. You stand in the queue. I have had darshanam of the Swami for 3 minutes. Fine. Let this guy come. So you move. He should be able to move voluntarily. You should be able to see, okay, am I hiding you? Please let me go back. See. Even these are all simple things in day-to-day life. We do it every day. But we only don't put our mind to thinking that. So if I'm a true devotee, I will not only be aware of myself, but after seeing for a minute, I will tell my neighbor, I have had my darshan, you please see. That's what we will do. So how it can be, if it is not there, how it can be called devotion at all? That's what I told you earlier. So the idea is, I should become more and more aware of the surroundings. More and more aware of all the things around and my relationship with them. And ultimately, my mind will expand to be aware of the whole thing. The whole thing in nature. In fact, even a family life is only meant to expand the mind, as I told. Right? So the moment I get something, I don't eat it myself. I save it for my family members. I do all these things. So I means for me, my entire family. So then we look at the entire community, the whole nation, all those things they come. So the principle of Karma Yoga is to give importance to the total and give less importance to the individual. So that is how one has to approach Karma Yoga here. So any organization or a group where the members have this attitude, then that institution will flourish without any problem. If any organization has this ego element associated with them, there will be only fights. Because each one thinks that he is important. That's the problem. Each one thinks that he is only, because of him only the organization, each one thinks like that. It will not flourish at all. Because that's how it is. Nature is like that. Nature will have its toll. Nature is very harsh. Nature is very fair, can be very harsh too. It will take it that way. So, that a nation or a society, the more I am centered on the total, then it is going to be, you know, then the individual society will become. So, if the awareness of the total is there, even then the minutest of day-to-day things, then I will find my activity will be less and less self-centered. That's what it, even the smallest thing, I should always consider doing that with that attitude in mind. So this is the level of the entire community. If it becomes like that, then what a pleasant community it will be. Now our present angle is what? We are placed in the world on the opposite side. Now we think we are here, that is the world. That's what we think. We and the world are opposite. That's what we are thinking now. And we think that this life is fight between me and this world. Instead of thinking that we are part of this world, we think I am on this side of the table. The world is there. The entire world is out there to get me. That's what I think. Right? That's the attitude. So I look at the nature, the plants, the animals, all those things as things for my use. I think of them as things created for my use. We should live happily, even if at that cost. That is what we think. Even if it is at that cost, I should live happily. So, you know, how, for example, you take a cow or whatever it is, how much they give than what they consume. They take little grass, but the cow gives so much to us in return. Any plant, a coconut tree, you add only little water to that, it gives so much of coconut fruits. So all those things we get, they give in plenty compared to what they consume. Whereas humans are the ones who take so much and give only, not even give a little. They give cause negative things also. And simple, mutual appreciation is not there. Several houses is the problem. Husband and wife both go to work. They both come back. The man doesn't want real estate. She also had an 8-hour work. She would be tired. No, she has to come and cook. Wash the vessels. Because mutual respect is not there. Because she says, he knows her duty. So, she has to go to work, it's not there. Why does she go to work if it's her duty? So, these are our people have to, this mutual respect at family level, at every level when it is there. Humans should respect humans as humans. Once that is there, there is no problem. But when that, the lack of it is there, there is always, you know, some, it leads to distrust, it leads to so many things. So, all of the complications come. So even the most educated people, husband may be very highly educated, he still thinks it is wife's duty to do this and that part. Wife is bothered. Not what to do. So this is the problem. So this always creates quarrel and unrest. So the concept of exploitation must go, completely go, by should be replaced by the concept of sacrifice. I should be able to sacrifice things. Or giving, I should be able to give. That attitude should come. Giving doesn't mean only giving money. Giving a good thought, giving nice words, giving encouraging words, they are good things in life. Appreciate a person when he does a good job. That is giving also. That is also a good dana. So then that will create mutual respect, that will create more harmony among people. So if I should have this attitude, what should I remember? I should not make use of nature for my living, but I live with nature and nature lives with me. I should have that attitude.
I should not think that I make use of nature. I should live with nature. So I live with my wife rather than make use of my wife. That is what the attitude should be. I live with the plant. I live with the animals. I live with all of them. I don't make use of them. I live with them. I get from them. I give back to them. Then that is the attitude of cooperative living. If that is there, then there will be love. Then there will be care. There will be concern. There will be sacrifice. Then there will be sharing. Ultimately, everything shanti, beauty. That's what will be the ultimate result if that is there. This awareness, if a person has, then he is called a karma yogi. So Krishna looks at karma yoga from various angles. So this will appeal to anybody. A believer, non-believer, doesn't matter. He doesn't have to believe in God. Right? He believes in humans. So he is a human being. If he believes in, he has to believe in himself. So if that attitude is there, no belief is needed. No faith is needed. No religion is needed. He can develop this attitude as a person, as a human being, common to anybody. So this is called karma yogi. So normally our culture, even the daily sandhyavandana karma, whatever we do in these things, they included the prayers for all of them. Prayers for all of them. By worshipping the waters, worshipping the sun as a representative of universal harmony. That's what you are being done. And understand, sandhyavandanam is not just for only Brahmins. We have to understand this very clearly. Sandhyavandanam is for all the three varnas. So happened it dropped in society. So we should not blame the system. God's dropped by whatever reason it is. But it was there for everybody. So if you want to look at the harmony of creation, look at the sun. How regularly it functions. Always it functions, you know. We may respect the sun, but regularly the sun rises, regularly the sun sets. Is there any change in that? No. It is obeying the cosmic order. It is obeying the nature. It's called because it's not. So the plant kingdom, they all in the seasons. You know, whatever season is there is the mango season. Mango everywhere, the mango season. In that season, it never fails. Mango comes. So in rainy season, it rains. Summer, it is summer. They all obey according to the tenets of Dharma. When we are living with them, we should associate ourselves also in that harmony. And in the chain of all these things, if there is one bad chain, the whole chain gets affected. So you do not have to have, everything is so 99.99 pure. This 0.1% pure impurity is enough to spoil the whole system. So that's what happens. When we exploit nature, we are trying to cause disharmony in nature. And whatever is the natural harmony, we are affecting them. That's what we are trying to do. So one humanity is enough. There may be so many other things. One humanity is enough to destroy the entire harmony. Completely. So at the end of the whole thing, then it will become the whole thing is going to be affected. So they are actually all other things, they are simply more intelligent than human beings to be harmed. Because they all act according to their dharma, except humans don't. So awareness of this cycle, actually there are many cycles, and one cycle is being pointed out here in this particular shloka. Annat bhavanti bhutani. Being born out of annam, being dependent on annam for its survival, actually the food depends on rain. Without rain, there is no food. You cannot grow any food without rain. And the rain is possible only when there is yajna. Means when there is harmonious life lived by these humans. Then only, you know, rains will come. Otherwise, you will affect all this global warming and all those things. You know, so many things are all affecting the cosmic system, ecological system and all that. So, yajna here refers to dharma. Dharma means universal harmony. Dharma means it's not any giving and all, not dharma. This is universal harmony is dharma. Everything in nature is in harmonious manner. So, which is the, in modern language, we can call it as ecological balance. That is the universal harmony. Universal harmony, ecological balance. Plant, animals, humans, and the entire creation, nature, they are all in harmony. So, this is indicated by the word here, yajna. And the yajna depends on action. Action, what action? That the human being must contribute for the well-being of the creation. That is action. Every human being should contribute for the well-being of the creation. So if I cut a plant, what should I do? I may have to cut a plant because I'm building a house. But I should put a plant, at least so many plants. At least just to don't cut a plant and be done. At least plant some more plants so that cycle will continue. If I make use of an animal, I protect that animal. I should do all that thing. So karma or my contribution, action is always necessary to foster the cycle. It should be maintained. So, if the action must come, it has to come from me, from the beings alone. Actions will not come from somebody else. Actions are done by these human beings. Where action will come? It has to come from them only.
You cannot say, I will do the action, let the other action can come from an animal. You cannot do that. You have to bring the action yourself. So you take the food, it takes from rain, and at the same time, it gives to humans. So the rain, all these things, it's a cycle. So in the case of everything, something comes from somewhere and something is contributed elsewhere. The clouds take the things from the ocean water, it takes it and gives it as rain elsewhere. So this cycle always is maintained. In each member in this society, each member in creation, there is giving and there is taking. There should be always giving, there should be always taking. No one-way traffic at all. I cannot continuously take without giving. If that happens, you are breaking the cycle. The harmony cycle will be broken. So one of them in that chain is the human being. The entire chain of things, one of them is a human being who also has to fulfill the rule of the chain. Giving and taking. He also should do it. And what is that? Any chain will survive only when the taker is also a giver. A chain has two links. One link connected here, one link connected to the next one. If he takes, he has to give. If he takes, only takes, then the chain is not complete. The chain will not continue as a chain. So, for example, if, you know, many examples we can give. In an orchestra, you need only one guy with an apaswara, that's it. The entire orchestra is, you got all great people, all others, one guy is enough to ruin the entire thing. That is how humanity is. Therefore, the moment we become more and more selfish, then the Lord comes in the picture. He doesn't keep quiet. Yada yada hi dharmasyam, glanirbhavati bharatam, abhyuttanam adharmasya, tadatmanam srijamyakam. The Lord comes. He is observing the whole cosmic cycle. Is there anybody who is contributing to its problem? It. That's what he does. Then he finds the plants, animals, they are all doing very well. No problem at all with all of them. But there is the set of human beings who are the only violators of the rule of the Lord. And the Lord, he decides that these people do not deserve to be in the cycle, in the chain. So the next job for him is to do what? To remove the unpleasant, disturbing factor, samasuras are called. Take it away. Usually he gives punishment by creating various problems. That's what we should think. The Lord doesn't give punishment just in sitting somewhere and coming into the paper. He gives various problems. We are suffering, so many new diseases are coming. These are all problems. Coming into society, plague, all these things are problems in society. They are the ways the nature takes care of the problem that has come because of the disharmony. So these diseases are because of our own lives, you know, because more and more disharmony, yes, it becomes all these problems. So everything we use is artificial. Even the air we breathe is artificial. We pay for the air we breathe. The water is not the natural water. Our feet never touch the earth. We have no contact with the earth at all. We always have some slipper, some shoe or something. We don't touch the earth at all. So we are removing ourselves more and more from nature. When we remove ourselves more and more from nature, how we can expect any harmony with nature? So there is no contact with natural water, no contact with the earth, no natural fire, all this gas fire, microwave, this fire, all these things, no natural fire at all, anywhere. So electrical cooking. So more and more we go away from nature, more and more new diseases come, new problems come. Microwave gives this disease. Actually, I have a niece, she is pregnant. Somebody told her microwave cooked some food is harmful to her baby or whatever. No, microwave, they threw it out of the house. So people and all these, what is these cordless phones and all, they are going to cause some brain problems. All these things, we don't know whether it is proven or not, we don't know. But at least these problems are all at least put to technology. So industrialization, vehicles, cars, etc. We don't know how to now go back even right now. Because without any of those things, we cannot even survive. It has become so difficult now. We cannot survive without a car, without a phone. None of us had a cell phone maybe about 10-15 years ago, right? Now today, wherever you go, don't leave home without it. Cell phone has, in the same house, there are 10 phones. One phone for public use, one phone for my own private use. Only my family members got this phone. How many phones have come? That's how this thing. Now we don't know how to get out of this now. We don't know how to get out. So nature is the Lord's creation. Nature is created by the Lord. We can never be away from it. We should be always part of it. The moment we feel we are going away, we are away, God shows us the symptoms of punishment. That's what the Lord does. And a time comes when the violation reaches the climax. You violate it so much. violation reaches, as in the Puranas, you know, for example, the birth of all the Rakshasas come. Like the Purana, they all come, right? Who violated Dharma so much, and therefore ordinary punishment is not adequate. All this disease and all is not adequate. Capital punishment has to come. So Lord brings, please, capital punishment. Paritranaya sadhunam, vinashaya dushkritam, dharma samsthavanarthayam, sambhavami, yuge yuge. Whenever adharma arises, the Lord takes avataram and he comes and he destroys. So the Lord gives sufficient warning though. In the scriptures, he gives sufficient warning in the beginning. That's what I told in the last class, right? The Mahavishnu has got what? He has got a lotus, he has got a conch, he has got a gada, and he has got a chakram. All four. So he first gives you, makes you take sense. Okay, don't do this. It's not good for you. The lotus. Then you don't listen. Blows the conch to alert you. Blows the conch. At least, you know, by hearing the noise, you know. Then he taps you with his gada. Gives some shock. Please wake up. You don't. Chakra, that's it. That's what the Lord has to do. There is no other way. Because this guy is not going to come up at all. What he goes on doing akramam. He doesn't come out. So Lord has given us enough intelligence to understand this. Only we do not use them. That's the problem. So most of our daily prayers are such that right from the Sandhyavandana Karma, whatever we do in the morning, it includes the awareness of this harmony. So Aditya Brahma, Brahma Eva, Ahamasmi. Every day we say that. Whatever is in that sun, who is far away, whatever is there in me, they are same. That attitude you develop every day. Morning, afternoon, evening, you go on telling this every day. But we keep on only telling. Never goes beyond that. So, but if I, the moment I forget, I become more and more selfish. Then I have to pay the price. Right? Therefore, Krishna is giving a strong warning in this shloka. Annat bhavanti bhutani. From the annam, the beings are born. Bhutani means all beings. They are born. Parjanyad annasambhavaha. From the rains. From the rains, the annam is born. How annam is born? From the rains. Yajnyat parjanyaha bhavanti. The rain is born when humans live harmoniously. Here, yajnyam means harmonious living. It is not some yajnyam. Normally, people, when they do lot of yajnyam, when there is no rain, they do yajnyam with prayers and rains come. So here, yajnyam here means, you know, we are in Jnanamarga here. So here, rains means yajnyas, whatever activities we do, harmonious living. And yajnyaha karma samudbhavaha. Yajna is possible only through actions of humans. When they do a harmonious living with creation and do the action in tune with creation, then that becomes yajna. Then only all these things can happen. If not, they are going to cause destruction to themselves. That's what Krishna says. We will continue the next angle in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasya mahesh. Krishna Narayana.